Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another of those incidents when we take Smiley's pics from the Louisville magazine into the studio. And today I'm talking to Austin Clark, who's a co-founder and co-artistic director of Bourbon Baroque. Austin, we hear all the time about orchestras folding and business models being broken and all that kind of good stuff, bad stuff. What's your secret? I mean, here you are, you packed Udell, I think, for a concert in the middle of July, and you're about to pack, I suspect, again for a summer concert on August 18.
Yes, we had a very small chamber concert in July for Udell, and we actually ended up receiving our largest audience for that concert series.
Now, why is that?
I think it's the suitability of the venue with our music. We perform Baroque music on period instruments in this very organic setting for Udell, and it's just a wonderful fusion of our music with the gardens.
Yeah, I think it might be worth just spending a moment explaining what you mean by period instruments.
Sure. Well, we perform on the instruments that preceded what you would normally hear at an orchestral concert, like the Louisville Orchestra's instruments. We perform on their Baroque counterparts that preceded what they play today. Basically, it's 200 to 300 years prior to that. So the violins, they have gut strings.
Instead of
steel strings, the woodwind instruments have fewer keys. I play on a harpsichord as opposed to a piano, things like that.
The woodwinds are actually wood and not steel.
Yes.
And this trend towards brighter, louder instruments is really a 19th century romantic notion, isn't it? That they wanted the bigger sound.
Yes, and the desire for that bigger sound, one could say, has landed us in the position that we're in. The Baroque music calls for fewer instruments, and in this economy, what's better than to use fewer people, fewer instruments, so our sound is actually perfect for what we need today.
And a place like Udell, which I imagine, being a barn, is somewhat resonant. This is good news, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. They have a nice arched roof, so it provides a wonderful acoustic.
And the most wonderful grounds in Louisville. I mean, it's just a beautiful place.
And it's air-conditioned.
Air-conditioned. Talk to me about your business model, though. Having said we shouldn't talk about business models, tell me about yours, because I think one of the problems that most of the major arts groups, particularly the performing arts groups, face is a huge overhead, you know, having to carry artists on salary for 30 to 50 weeks of the year. But you don't have that issue.
Yes, we don't have that issue. And, you know, one could say that it sort of caps us at a certain level in terms of what we can achieve, but I would argue the opposite. We only plan what we are capable of fundraising for. We only do projects that we have fully fundraised for prior to the curtain call. So we really try to reduce our overhead. I operate out of my house, and we try to reduce as many of the expenses as possible.
There's more to it than that, though, isn't it? Because it means that the artists who are working for you, they don't make a full-time living out of Bourbon Baroque. I mean, you couldn't be a professional Bourbon Baroque player and bring up a wife and kids.
I think it's the harsh reality of where we are today. I think in order for things to happen, one has to piece together one's employment to make things work. And that's a reality I've had to face since leaving school. And those are the kind of personalities and people that we work with Bourbon Baroque.
Yeah, it's great. It's easy to get freelance work, isn't it? It's just hell to get paid for it.
Exactly.
At least that's my experience. We need to clarify one more thing. I think when we're talking about Baroque, a word that gets bandied around in arts and music circles, we're talking about the period roughly, 1600 to 1750?
Yes, roughly that.
And this was the time of the Counter-Reformation and all these splendid Baroque and grand churches in Rome. Is this reflected in music, a quality of grandeur, a quality of exuberance?
Oh, one only has to say Handel and you understand the kind of exuberance that the Baroque music can uphold.
And you also respect the French Baroque, don't you? I mean, there's a lot of French music.
Yes, and we're actually displaying a lot of that in our upcoming season.
Yes, tell me something about the season proper. Well, not that there's anything improper about Udell, but tell me about the season proper. Starting when is it, September?
Yes, we start our season on Sunday, September 18th, and we're doing a sort of alternative opening to our season. We are doing a cabaret-style concert at a new venue in Louisville called the Bardstown, appropriately on Bardstown Road.
I know it well. Yes, beautiful. Up, I think, at the junction of Speed and...
Yes.
It's close to the junction of Speed and Bardstown. That's a wonderful space. So what's the cabaret all about?
Well, we decided, you know, one of the great things about listening to music is also sort of imbibing.
Yes.
So we will be presenting a concert of the highlight piece is Brandenburg No. 6, Brandenburg Concerto by J.S. Bach, No. 6, which calls for viola da gambas. And gambas are extremely a sort of salon-setting instrument. They're very quiet and intimate. And so we have a concert of viol music in addition to Brandenburg No. 6 at the Bardstown Sunday, September 18th at 7 p.m. One can pay admission and then, of course, order drinks, order food, and really enjoy themselves.
You know, that's so important. It was Wagner, one of the gloomy German, I think it was Wagner, who came up with the idea of putting the lights out and have everyone behave as if they were in church. But up till that time, I mean, concerts were occasions for frivolity and flirting and moving from box to box, a glass in hand. So you're trying to recapture some of that, dare I say, bucolic atmosphere.
Yes, one of the most famous Baroque orchestras in the world is Tafel Music. And of course, the Tafel Music is a collection of music that was written by Telemann. And it literally means table music, which is music that one can appreciate at dinner in a very social setting. And that is the quintessential love of why Bourbon Baroque exists.
Which is what?
Which is just the appreciation of society and music.
Yes.
And appreciating music and how it applies to social settings.
So it's almost as much about the complete social experience as about music itself. That's an interesting point because David Roth, I think, is having great success at the opera company by seeing a night at the opera not as 3 hours of music, but as 5 hours of socializing and music. And you come early, get a glass of champagne, go to the opera, go to the party afterwards with the cast, and it's the complete experience which he sells.
Yes, you need to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're entering the hall, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
There needs to be a little bit of a breather because nowadays people can't sit for 3 hours when they've got five other things on their mind. They need a chance to sort of alleviate the intensity of a performance.
Yes. It is interesting, though, Baroque music, which was certainly widely neglected in my youth, is coming back really with a bang, isn't it? Not just in Louisville, obviously, but internationally. It's one of the cutting edge things. I mean, old is suddenly new.
Exactly. It's a very refreshing movement, trying to resurrect this music and create it in a modern context.
And it's more not just about the instruments themselves, but also about the way you play them. I mean, the lack of vibrato on the violins and things. You know, people going to concerts are used to seeing the solos waving his left hand about, you know, making that vibrato that... And you don't do that.
No, it's my equivalent to the waving vibratoed hand is the right foot, the heavy right foot on the piano. There are techniques that have evolved that sort of mask the technique that you've learned and worked so hard for in your hands. And what Baroque music it strips away that, and what our practice does is it strips away that and really goes back to the notes and preserving.
So it can take a bit of adjusting on the part of the listener. I find it takes about 5 minutes before, first of all, you get used to this almost, I don't want to say bland because that's pejorative, but less vibrant sound, and also to the fact that the instruments are pitched lower than they are for a concert. Is it 4.25 or something is against 4.40 cycles per second? Sounds highly technical, but it does mean you're playing like a tone flat compared with the pitches one is used to in symphony orchestras.
Yes, and one shouldn't confuse the lowered tone to be associated with a bad intonation. It is the temperament we use, our historical temperaments, and it takes some adjustment to get from the equal-tempered ear back to the historical temperaments that we use. But they're all, you know, in the guise of how to interpret that music. That music, that's how it existed with those temperaments. The dynamics are cut in half from what we're used to today because the instruments weren't as developed. But it's to appreciate the smaller dynamic continuum. That's what we're trying to also achieve.
So the season proper opens on the 18th of September.
Yes.
What's after that?
After that, we are partnering with the Louisville Choral Arts Society in a performance of Bach's Magnificat and other works.
And that takes you up to Christmas?
Yes.
Indeed. Well, Austin Clark, thank you very much indeed. We wish you every success. And your next major event is on the 18th of August at UDEL at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Thanks so much.